This is fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for this knowledge.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century, always timeless. Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that. It starts with one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away and it's so unreal. I didn't look out below. I watched the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on and didn't even know I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside and even though I tried, it all fell apart.
It is the Air Raid Podcast brought to you by BeaverTheMadHorse.com. I'm Ryan. I'm joined tonight by Jonathan. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight, Ryan?
Good. Good. Exciting weekend. We're in June now. Postseason. We completely left the crappy Big 12 tournament behind. I mean, why even have it, right? We had the tournament. It's called the regular season. We won it. Enough said.
The end.
Yeah, the end. Period. But now we have to go and host our regional, which is what we're intending to do. Hashtag see you in Omaha. And I actually, when the regional four seeds came out, I was actually okay with it. I thought this could be a lot tougher, on paper, a lot tougher than what we have. We've got Delaware, Arizona, and Sam Houston State. And I know you were talking about some or Field of 64 things earlier that said A&M, New Mexico, New Mexico State.
That would have been
and brutal. That was, yeah, that's just talk about just a ball crusher in more ways than one.
Yeah, that's worse than the what the Houston Regional ended up being with Baylor and A&M down there.
Yeah. Because that one scared me. When you said that, I was like, oh, good Lord. I don't know if we're getting out of that one. Just because, as people have seen, baseball is different. That's why we play series. Series are more indicative of how the team is overall, where even double elimination style, like in the postseason and even the Big 12 tournament, a lot of fluky things can go wrong, even though it's double elimination. And there isn't really a kind of the feel that you have over the regular season. And that's one of the things that a lot of MLB teams don't like about the new playoff system that's been enacted in the last 4 or 5 years with that single game wild card. It's like you play a series all season long to play a one-off game where fluky things can happen, and it doesn't even out over time. So, but anyway, we got Delaware as the four seed so that we play them, and Arizona and Sam Houston State lock up as the 2 and 3 seed. What are your feelings overall about this kind of regional that we have here, Jonathan?
It's kind of weird because typically in regional action, you see a lot of lower scoring games. It's a lot of pitching because we were talking about that all season. When the bullpen was having a little bit of problems, it's your pitching that needs to win games. You're going to win games 4-3, not 10-9. But then again, Cal State Fullerton, I think, put 13 on BYU today, as they got started early. And all four of these teams they're really known for their offense. Even though the Tech does have a really good pitching staff, we're not known for that. We're known for the crazy amount of runs we can put up, and Delaware, Arizona, and Sam Houston State are really no different in that regard. Everybody likes to hit the ball. Everybody likes to put the ball in play. Everybody likes to score the runs. So it's kind of a little bit of a conundrum on what we might see here. Are we going to see low-scoring games like we would expect to see in a regional? Because I believe last year when we played in New Mexico, Tech and New Mexico were slugging it out all season back and forth in the few games they played. And then it came to the regional, and I think it was a 5-4 game, something mm-hmm. like that, in extra innings. So last year it showed that it was low scoring, and I wonder if we're going to see that again. And if we do, I really think that we have a really good chance, because of all the teams, we probably have the best overall pitching staff.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think this kind of field that we're seeing is scary just because there's not a lot of knowns. We've only faced one of these teams. So you don't know quite what you're going to get, like you were saying. But at the same time, I feel really good about this. You look at, I know I'm going to let you get into the stats, but I was just looking at Delaware here, and their RPI is 123, and their strength of schedule is 211, and they're 6-13 on the road.
Yep.
I'm feeling pretty good about that one.
Yeah, that was something I put in the preview that's going to go up tomorrow just before the game starts. Their numbers and our numbers are pretty similar, but it's the quality of competition. They're playing in the Colonial Athletic Association, I believe is the name of their conference, and nobody in that conference had an RPI higher than 120. A couple of teams were in the 140s. College of Charleston, who Tech fans will remember from the 2014 run, we played them in the Supers. They were in the 140s or 160s. UNC Wilmington, who sometimes you'll see them make a little bit of a run. They were in the 120s, 140s, somewhere around there. So even though the numbers are really close, and we're a little bit better than them in some areas, and they're a little bit better than us in some. But it's just who you play and stuff like that is what's throwing those numbers off a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by scary is you have this team, Delaware, that you're looking at on paper, and you're saying, okay, we got this, but it's a one-off game. You play them, and it dictates, you know, who you play next. And in baseball, the bats could go cold. The pitcher may not have it in the first inning, and you dig yourself into a 3-0 hole and never get out, and the final score is 3-2 or 4-3. And now that one bad inning kind of pushes you into a place where you're going to have a hard time making up that ground. Where in a series, you can kind of bet that you would take 2 of 3 from Delaware and move on.
Right, because Delaware, they really have one great starter, Ron Marinaccio. Probably butchered your name, Ron. Sorry about that. But he's 4-2, and his ERA is a 1.85. He was closer. He was a closer to begin the season, and then he got moved to the starter position, and he's really the one that has helped them out. Even though they are scoring a lot, he's a really good pitcher, not allowing many runs. But you're right, if he gets in a groove and he goes 7-8 innings, so Delaware can save their bullpen. If they're keeping us in a low scoring game, then that kind of puts you on the back burner and possibly in the losers bracket right away, right out of the gate.
Yeah, and we don't mean to be pessimistic here. We're doing, or at least I want to do kind of doomsday scenario, and then we'll do an optimistic scenario and kind of end on a high note. But the doomsday scenario is that happens. He goes 7-8 innings, really shuts us down. We have maybe, even if we have just one bad inning, you know, give up a couple of runs, and you kind of have the feeling that runs are going to be hard to come by. Like we've seen in College World Series game after College World Series game where the pitchers are doing their job, but good pitching kind of beats good hitting at times. And say we lose that game. And let's say Sam Houston State beats Zona in their matchup. And Sam Houston State is actually quite capable of doing that with their kind of firepower that we've seen. But let's just say that happens, again, in a one-off game. Now you're facing an elimination game against Arizona. In a one-off where you don't have a series to kind of even things out, where fluky things can happen. And that's kind of kind of interesting. You're not really, really concerned about Arizona because we beat them, what, 13-1 earlier this year?
Yeah, really handily.
Yeah, they actually didn't look interested in that game. They were just trying to get back to Arizona and go back home after their tournament up in Frisco. But, you know, that's another team that can kind of sneak up on you and be not really what you thought, but like, oh, we've got this, we beat them 13-1, and then they come out and turn the tables on you, and you're looking at, wow, that was a really quick 0-2 exit from the regional.
At home, no less.
At home. Now, what would be ideal, the at least in my opinion, the optimistic view, is to do handle Delaware, and then actually I would prefer Zona next. I want Zona to beat Sam Houston State.
In an 18-inning game, right?
Well, I take that back. Sam Houston State over Zona, because then Zona would beat Delaware. We would beat Sam Houston State. Sam Houston State would play Zona again, and then we would take the winner of that one.
Yep.
And they would have to beat us twice. Yeah. I think the most optimistic view would be win against Delaware, Sam Houston State beat Zona, and then you would probably play Zona again, but they would have to beat you twice. Which I would take those odds. But
yeah, I think you're right. Whoever wins the second game tomorrow, the other team will win in the rematch.
Yeah.
I think both of those teams are really closely matched up.
Yeah, I hate to put Delaware just kind of out of it, but it's kind of been the trend with the Lubbock Regionals. The fourth team isn't really a huge factor. I mean, they play well. I think it was it Fairfield last year?
Fairfield, yeah.
Small
college out of, I want to say Rhode Island, somewhere up in the Northeast, I think.
Yeah, they play pretty well, kind of hold their own, but they don't win, and they're quickly dismissed from the regional 0-2. It's kind of where I feel Delaware is. I really feel like this is a three-horse race. But I mean, Zona's recovered. They have a record of 37-19 with an RPI of 23 and an strength of schedule of 41. No one is in Texas Tech's league in this regional when it comes to RPI or strength of schedule. I think you'll probably know better than I do, but I think RPI for Tech is top 10.
Third or fifth? Fifth, I think we dropped to.
And after, our strength of schedule has got to be
what? We're top five in that as well, I believe. Let me pull that up real quick.
I had all of our opponents. I didn't think to look up us. So I'm going off of memory.
Okay, strength of schedule is 32.
32?
Yes.
Which is still significantly higher than 41, which is the next. Which is Zona, and you have Sam Houston State, who comes in at 40-20 with an RPI 54 and a strength of schedule of 107. And again, you kind of expect that the lower, like you were saying, the lower, smaller schools in the lesser conferences won't have the strength of schedule that Texas Tech does with their non-conference schedule. So, How good are we feeling that Texas Tech kind of gets through this regional unscathed and looks forward to hosting their super regional?
I'm pretty confident that's going to happen. A lot of it's going to hinge on what happens on the mound tomorrow for us.
Speaking of, good segue, who do we have going tomorrow? Who is Tadlock tabbed?
We got Davis Martin.
Which is crazy to me that he's made one start of three innings coming back, and Tadlock's going to put game one of the regional on him.
Do you think he has a short leash?
I think he has, well, knowing Tadlock, he has a very short leash. All the pitchers have a short leash. Mm-hmm. I think last year, other than Gingrey, I think, you know, he would go like Mosley for 3 or 4 innings and then go straight to the bullpen. And he would do like 3-3-3 or 4-2, you know, 4-2-3 or whatever. He goes to the bullpen quite early. I remember Ty Dameron being pulled in the third, and he was pitching fine. You know, he does that with Harpnoe. He does that with a lot of them. I'm not sure why, but he tends to do it quite a bit.
With Davis coming off injury, a lot of rest. He's only pitched 35 innings this year. You got to think he's going to try and work him back in as we make a push to Omaha.
Yeah,
At last year's, and he started the game against Fairfield, and he went 7 innings.
Yeah.
But the difference was we were up 3-0 before Fairfield got a run.
Yeah.
And we just continued.
I mean, coming back, if you actually think about Tech being in the Super Regional and obviously hopefully the College World Series, and you need Davis Martin, the pro style of doing it, if we would look at a pro team and say one of the starters was coming back from injury and had a short leash and you were working him back in, even if he had, you know, minor league rehab assignments, he wouldn't start the game. He would probably come in the fourth and be a long reliever and get it to the bullpen. Probably pitch 4, 5, 6, maybe into the 7th. So it's interesting that he'll start, and it'll be really interesting to see exactly how far Tadlock will let him go. I don't know how I feel about that.
I think some of it may be also that he was kept out longer than he needed to be. Because it was reported that he was throwing just a few, maybe what, 3 or 4 weeks after the injury. But he didn't actually have a full session until right before the tournament. So I'm wondering if because of our position in the conference and how well we were doing, Shetter and Lanning really stepped up. That we didn't really need Davis to come back. I'm wondering if he was getting a lot of work at practice and just not any game time to keep his pitch count, his inning count low for the season.
Yeah.
But we should find out about 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. What team scares you most in this regional?
Arizona does. Because I think they're out for a little bit of revenge. Like you said, they came to Lubbock and didn't do well, didn't look like they wanted to be there. It kind of put a little bit of a hiccup in the early part of their season they had to recover from. And so I think they're looking to return the favor.
Yeah, didn't a Arizona player have some choice words about Texas Tech's fan base?
Yeah, he said that we were really rowdy. And
I think he said that Tech fans said stuff that shouldn't be said ever. I know Nick Szymanek had some choice words that said that he was going to be at the same Houston State game and he's going to be as close to the Arizona dugout as possible for whatever reason, alluding to that conversation. But bulletin board material nonetheless. I think when you start talking about another team's fan base, especially when you're going into their regional, you probably don't want to say how rowdy they were last time, because you're probably just going to get more of it. you should probably just say they're the nicest, most respectful people out there. Good baseball people. Definitely not Ranger fans. but I don't know. I think Sam Houston State scares me. I don't know why. I think it's because we haven't played them this year. I know we played them last year.
I thought we did play them this year.
No, I didn't see them on the schedule.
I thought we went down there for a couple of games. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Maybe I'm thinking of UTSA.
Yeah, we went played. Yeah, it was UTSA.
Okay, yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
But we didn't. We played Sam Houston State last year. Did not play him this year. And obviously, different situation, different team. But we beat Sam Houston State 11-6. We swept the series. Did 11-6. One game was canceled, and then we won 8-6 and 20-3. Looks like that was a doubleheader.
Midweek.
Yeah, to make it up. So, and I want to say
we had a 9-run inning in that 20-run game.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that Sam Houston State didn't give up in that 8-6 game. It was we were up 8-2, and they stormed back in the late to make it 8-6. That was back when we had Hayden Howard slam the door.
Yeah, they scored one in the sixth and three in the seventh.
Yeah. And in the first one, where they also scored six, it was close early. So it was 6-5 after three, and then we pulled away late. Davis Martin also pitched that game, along with Stephen Gingrey.
Oh, okay. That's when we were finding out what they had.
Yeah, Gingrey went 2 1/3, and then Davis went an inning and 2/3. Back when they were youngins. Now they're the guys that we're relying on. Oh, my God.
Couple of sophomores.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this regional will be over by the next time we do a pod. So, tell me a little bit about how the kind of scheduling works, and say we win the regional and we're going to super regional. How does it kind of break down to know who we may or may not be facing based on who comes out of the regionals as winners?
This regional, the winners of the two games tomorrow, or today if you're listening Friday, they'll play Saturday at, I believe it's 6:00. Let me pull that image up real quick. Yeah, they'll play Saturday at 6:00. Then the losers they'll have the first game Saturday at 2:00. And then the winners bracket continues Sunday at 6:00, and the losers Sunday at 2:00. So 2 and 6 are pretty much your, default game times. Weather permitting and length of game permitting, all the games will be at Rip Griffin.
So
the latest this series can go, obviously weather permitting, would be Monday at 2:00, but the championship game is scheduled for Sunday at 6:00.
Yeah, so that would be a 2-0 versus a 2-1.
That's correct.
And it has to be double elimination.
Yeah, have to lose twice.
So if the team coming from the loser's bracket into that
wins that game
wins
Sunday.
That game, you would play Monday for the winner take all.
Yep. Okay. And we are matched up against, let me pull up the full bracket. We're matched up against the Florida State.
I think I picked them to come play us in the Super Regional.
I know most people have them coming out. Number two seed in that is Central Florida. The number three is Auburn. And the number four is Tennessee Tech. So yeah, I'm hoping for a Texas Tech, Tennessee Tech Super Regional.
I'm not. That means Tennessee Tech took care of those teams. might be a little scary. Might be like Eastern Carolina coming to take us. Because that was a scary Super Regional last year.
Yes, it was.
Especially dropping the first game.
Got awfully close.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was some good baseball because I don't know if everybody remembers, but we dropped the first game to Eastern Carolina, and then we went 13 innings in game two to continue it. And I think the Pirates were so emotionally exhausted from that 13 inning game and being so close to winning it multiple times that you kind of knew once we won that game that we had won the region, Super Regional. And I think we came out in the final game and absolutely just blew them out of the water.
It was 11-0.
Yeah, that game was never in doubt. And people don't put a whole lot of and that's what a series can do. You play that series out, and the better team normally comes out on top. And I will just say there's a lot to be said for the emotional, how much emotion you are carrying into a game. You want to know, I mean, you take it to football. You want to know why Tech didn't show up against Iowa State? Because they lost to Oklahoma State by 1 point on a missed extra point.
Yeah, and that was a whole week in between games. This was less than 24 hours.
Yeah, there was, I mean, you want to talk about, you could just tell, you kind of feel that, especially when you play sports, that they had nothing left. They poured everything into that game to get it won, and they didn't. And coming back the next day, trying to win it, and they had nothing left. It was kind of good effort time there.
It was a five-hour game.
Yeah.
That 13-inning.
Yeah, I mean, and it would have been kind of the same way the other way. Not to say that Tech couldn't have fought back, but say Tech won that first game, and then East Carolina came back and in 13 innings had a really, good game and ended up coming out with a winner. And say Texas Tech was so close a couple of times of getting out of it, one out away, one strike away, whatever it is, you know that coming out the next night, it's over. We saw the same thing with the Rangers in 2011 in the World Series when they were a strike away twice from winning the World Series and they couldn't get it done and they lost that game. You knew Game 7 was over. It's like, nope,
yep.
They don't have anything left. I think I called it that night, like, Cardinals won the World Series tonight. And then that's what happened. They kind of made a decent fight of it, but you can really tell how much emotion a team is pouring into that game and if they'll have anything left, especially if they don't win it the next day. Okay, I think after that, you wanted to talk about some awards.
Yeah.
Some awards for us.
There was some stuff announced today. Let me go ahead and pull that up. Stephen Gingrey was named a semifinalist for the USA Golden Spike Award.
Awesome.
So it's great to see what he's been able to do for us this year. When Davis went down, he was able to really become our ace. We kept him in the Saturday spot, which he locked down. and it was really, really great to see that. They'll actually announce the finalists for that award in 2 weeks. And then our other award announcement. Actually, there's two more. Gingrey was named first team All-American. And he actually has the 10th best ERA in the country.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive.
Very.
And speaking of All-Americans, somehow Hunter Hargrove got pushed all the way down to third.
How did that happen?
I'm not sure. Also, I don't know if anybody follows Hunter on Twitter, but he bowled a 299. Yes, a 299.
Hey, if you can't get a 300, why even bowl, right?
Missed one pin on the very last frame.
Typical Tech, can't close the deal.
So congrats to both Hunter and Steven on that. Also, want to say something I saw on Twitter from Hunter tonight is he said DC did a fantastic job on Wonder Woman. So good to see that from him.
That'll make some of our other staffers quite upset.
That's okay.
That's okay. They need to be upset sometimes. Next week, we will... Oh, before we do that, you can, if you want a little bit more information on this regional and the previews, there are a couple of articles up on Viva.com or VivaTheMadHorse.com. A tournament preview for Arizona, a tournament preview for Sam Houston State, and I think you said you had a tournament preview for Delaware tomorrow?
No, the Delaware one went up Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, did it?
So that one's one's already up. It's kind of pushed down.
I missed it. I missed it. So you have a tournament preview on each team in the regional. You can go to the VivaTheMadHorse.com on the homepage and get a little bit more in depth on it. And your preview tomorrow is
just a general preview of what's going on and a little bit of a stat look at Delaware and the matchup that we're going to have tomorrow.
Perfect.
And then it'll have links to watch the stream because all the games will be on watchESPN.com.
ESPN 8 the Ocho.
That's correct.
I also see that Zach posted a general NCAA baseball tournament kind of preview with how he thinks the Big 12 schools will fare. You can take a look at that as well. That's all I've got. If Texas Tech comes out of the regional a winner and goes to a super regional, we'll be back talking baseball next week. If not, get your popcorn ready because that means it's officially football season in the 806, which means from now until December or January, it's going to be football heavy if we can keep our sanity through all that. So get ready for that. Any closing thoughts, Jonathan?
I've got nothing. Just flip on the TV or the computer at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Or if you're at work like me, flip on your work computer or an audio stream. And hope for some good baseball.
Absolutely. Best of luck to the boys. Best of luck to Davis Martin. Hopefully he gets gives us a few shutdown innings and allows the offense to do their job. But for Jonathan, I'm Ryan. This has been the Air Raid Podcast brought to you by VivaTheMatadors.com.